Reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 4, reading 26 to 34 from the New International Version. This is the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is the parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Our second reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 6 to 9. "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." This is the word of the Lord.
So thank you again for having me along this morning, and it's a privilege to work for Kids Hope. I've just celebrated 5 years with Kids Hope myself, and it is an honour to travel around to churches and share about this wonderful ministry, but also to bring, you know, we're a Christian organisation, Kids Hope, and to give an encouragement to you about not just what mentoring can do, and you know, we all are mentors in lots of various ways. If you're a parent, you're a mentor. You're a teacher, you're a mentor. If you're in a workplace, you're probably mentoring other people. And part of our world is relationships, isn't it? And that's really what I want to talk about today. And along the theme, I think you've heard lots about sowing and planting. And it's all amazing how God puts these kind of services together. I turn up and the Bible verse of the day is just exactly, you know, what we've talked about or what I was planning to talk about. But what I want to start today is just take it on a bit of a journey in terms of relationships and a little bit of reflection for ourselves to think about how we came to be who we are today. And that then encourages us as to what we can give to others. And so I want to start with a video. It has a bit of a mentoring theme to it, but it should just get you thinking about the journey of who has impacted you and then what we can do with that to pass on to others. So I'm just going to hopefully flick over to this video, and it's just all words up on a screen to read. Hopefully it's clear for you, but just a time to reflect and think about mentoring in a specific, and it is American video that has some statistics that aren't quite relevant to us, but you'll understand. So let's just watch this. Thank you. interesting challenge, isn't it? Or an interesting reflection. Do you remember you before you were you? Might be a longer time for some of us and shorter time for others. But it's interesting, isn't it, when we look back at all the influences. And it's interesting there that it said 90% of people who mentor or who are mentored will be a mentor themselves to others. And basically, I want you just to reflect on that in your own life as we just journey through, because unless we have done the journey, it's hard for us to pass the love and the care onto others or to build into others, which is what I want to talk about today in terms of sowing seeds of hope into other people's lives. What's your story? And that's a very deep question. I know we all have. I have a story, you have a story, but it's that story that influences who we are today, and what we do with that story is our choice, isn't it? To pass on to others and to invest and be in relationship with other people. I just want to reflect and just start at this point before we go into that verse in Corinthians that we just talked, heard about sowing and watering and God making it grow. I just want to continue in that reflection mode to think about how have we journeyed in our faith and in our relationships and in our story? How have we achieved that? There's a verse here in Romans 5, 1-5, which talks about that. And if you look there at verse 3, it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's interesting to have the word glory and suffering in the same sentence. It's a bit hard to comprehend, isn't it? How can we glory in our sufferings? It doesn't make sense to us. But in a faith perspective and in a relationship with Jesus, there's a hope that's promised at the end of this verse, isn't there? But it's a journey. It's a story. There's suffering. Has anyone here put your hand up if you have not experienced suffering? Oh, that's good. Sometimes I put my hand up when I ask for that demonstration, and that doesn't make sense because then I look like I'm perfect. I'm not. We've all experienced suffering. We've all experienced pain. We've all experienced situations in our lives that have influenced who we are today. And this goes on to say that through that suffering, because we know that through suffering, we learn how to persevere. Perseverance then builds character. And so that's what this verse is about. It's about teaching us about, yes, you will all experience suffering, and that's clear through Scripture that we can't avoid that. That's going to happen. There's going to be speed humps in the road. But we learn to persevere. We build character, and our character produces hope. Hope's an interesting word. My church in Point Cook have a theme, the Year of Hope, in our church this year. So we've been talking a lot about the word hope and about that it has two very different meanings, doesn't it? The secular or just the simple explanation of hope is very flimsy. It's very wishful thinking. Yeah, I hope Australia wins the World Cup. You know, which we had a good crack at it last night. Did anyone watch the World Cup? It was a frustrating game, wasn't it? But that's a hope that is, you know, it's a worldly hope in something that doesn't really matter. Probably not. Do we get involved? Yes, we do. You know, I hope I pass my exams. You know, anyone studying and lots of people that are experiencing that kind of stuff at the moment in the middle of the year, universities, etc. I hope I pass my exams. There's a little bit more confidence because you've done some work in it and you're involved and you have a bit of control, but the hope is still not the hope that we're talking about in this verse and the hope that we're promised through Jesus Christ and through our relationship with Him. That hope is a definite hope, isn't it? It's a secure, trustworthy hope that we've been promised in the Lord Jesus Christ and in having relationship with him. But then I want to go into the final part of this verse where we're promised a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that there's an extra level of support that we have in our lives to help us as Christians. And he says, Paul says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I think sometimes this next verse about the fruits of the Spirit is sometimes a bit misunderstood. That we think that love and joy and peace and kindness and self-control is just a to-do list. Yeah, that because I'm a Christian, I need to be good. I need to love people. I need to have faith. I need to be kind. I need to be patient. And sometimes I've been there, you know, it's tick the box. Yes, I was kind this week. I did it. That was hard, but I stepped out of my comfort zone and I did it. But this isn't just the to-do list of faith. It's the bonus of the Holy Spirit in our lives that helps us do this. So the fruit of the Spirit, we've been talking about planting and watering and seeds and how fruit is produced. So this is fruit that comes from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But if we are connected to the vine, which I'm going to have a look at a little bit as well, about that, that then we are able to produce the fruit that they say, the peace, the kindness, the joy, the self-control, comes from a relationship with God and having the Holy Spirit in us. So in our hearts was what the verse said, wasn't it? And so we are then able to pass that on to others because we have invested and have a relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit in us. There's another verse in Luke where it says about the good and the bad fruit that is produced. And so we know that we're not always going to be loving and caring and kind and patient because we live in the world and we're influenced by the world around us and sin is ever prevalent in our society and in our lives. But this verse in Luke talks about, you know, a good tree doesn't produce rotten fruit. And a rotten tree doesn't produce good fruit because every tree is known by its own fruit. We're all known by our fruit, aren't we, of what people see. And that goes back to the character and the perseverance and the hope that we've done through our own journey and our own suffering. And so the fruit can fall in many different ways. But a good person produces good from the good treasure of his heart. So there we go, the heart that we talked about where the Spirit is. And an evil person produces evil from an evil treasure. Because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And that's where I want to reflect on as we move into, okay, what do we do with this? How do we plant and water seeds in our... It's a reflection time for us to say, who am I? How did I get here? My relationship with God, the Holy Spirit is in me, and he is in my heart, and there should be, if we're connected and we're in relationship with him, there should be an overflow of this stuff, of the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. There should be an overflow into all of our relationships, into all of our partnerships, connections in our lives, that the overflow of our heart is what shines through. Does that make sense? In the sense of, it's a journey. We're all on a journey. It never ends. You know, we're constantly changing, improving, persevering. We're constantly on the move in terms of how we develop. But God is there. We have an Almighty Father who loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us. And so we need to soak in the Holy Spirit and be aware of his presence in our lives. And then, hopefully, that will produce fruit and that will come from the overflow of our heart. And so this verse in Corinthians that I want to just touch on as I finish up and move towards the end of the service. But You know, it talks about, this is Paul speaking, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God who has been making it grow. And I think we all get lots of opportunities to plant and water seeds. It's actually a choice, isn't it? If we're walking around, at our schools, at our workplace, in our homes, wherever we are in our church, the seeds aren't just going to fall out of our pocket, are they? And if we've got farmers, or we had an example of seeds that didn't quite work out. But, you know, we all have opportunities to sow and water seeds. It's a choice that we have to make. I heard a leadership seminar of some sort talking about evangelism in the sense of, you know, throughout our day we have thousands of split-second opportunities to make choices in terms of which directions we go with how we respond to a situation or how we relate to something. We make thousands of choices a day, don't we? And this is what sowing seeds and watering is all about. It's a choice that we make. And so we can choose to sit on the couch and not do anything, or we can choose to come along to the homeless night last night and participate in what's happening in this church. And can I please encourage you as a church? It's always wonderful to hear the incredible ministries that are going on in churches around Australia. And so please be encouraged by what you're doing, not just through Kids Hope, but serving the homeless and the other things that I've heard about today. So be encouraged. That is sowing and planting seeds. That is an example of what I'm teaching you about and speaking about today. But the final part of that first verse there is that God makes it grow. And I suppose the reason I use this verse from a Kids Hope perspective is that where our mentors aren't allowed to tell the kids about Jesus or talk religiously during their mentoring hour. And so Kids Hope is really a seed planting ministry. And we have to be trusting that God is doing something with it and helping make it grow. Because many of our mentors, I had a brief chat to one of the mentors on the way in this morning, and he's been with his job for 5 years. And he said it's still a challenge because this little boy lost his dad when he was 5 years old and just starting prep. And his dad was a teacher and he died very quickly from cancer. And so this beautiful mentor from your church has been able to go in and be a father figure to this boy. And he shared how he has been able to get involved in the family and meet mum and be involved in the family and support in other ways. But there's many of our mentors that don't get to do that because of the family situations. They could only just see that child for 1 hour a week. They go home and they just pray like crazy that God is going to do something in the life of that child and in that child's family. And that's why we have prayer partners as well. I didn't mention that before, but if you can't give up an hour of your week during the week to be a mentor, please put your hand up to pray for a mentor and support them in prayer and support the ministry. But Kids Hope is a seed planting exercise because you're going in every week for an hour, just watering that seed, loving, what did I talk about? The overflow of the heart, of the seeds, of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you're doing. You're loving, you're being kind, you're being patient, and you're teaching that to those children in those needy situations that they're in. But this isn't just a Kids Hope story. This is a story for all of us in all of our faith and our relationship situations where we get an opportunity every day to plant seeds in a whole range of different areas that we mix in our communities, in our church, in our workplaces. And so I made up just a little acronym for the word sow, that it's a choice. Seek opportunities willingly. And so when you do get that chance to make a choice of which direction do I go, I always share in this regard about parenting. And I'm actually blessed now to be a grandparent. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, had a baby. She celebrates her first birthday in a few weeks' time, my little granddaughter. But I've got four children. I have a 25-year-old, my oldest, Rebecca. She's married. And with the baby, and she's been married for 3 years. My second daughter, Stephanie, is 23, and she's getting married next year. So wedding number two for my two daughters. And then I've got a 19-year-old son who's 6'6" and looks down on all of us. But then I had a 13-year gap, and Jeanette's laughing and smiling down here, to our 5-year-old, Jacob. So I got a 13-year gap between my third and fourth child. And he's been an absolute blessing, a big surprise, but a blessing. And he's now uncle to my daughter's baby. So he's the trendiest little 5-year-old uncle you've ever seen. He thinks he's the greatest, and he is. He's the greatest uncle. He tells his big brother all the time, my 19, 6'6" guy. He says, I'm a better uncle than you. But it's so cute to see an uncle and a niece playing together, like, you know, she's nearly one and he loves just playing with her. So I love family, and family is what we all do, isn't it? We all are engrossed in family, good and bad. This family is what we do. And as a parent, I often think about planting seeds and watering seeds and allowing God to do the work and to the growth and the fruit, to bear the fruit. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, I tell this story, she's got married 3 years ago, and she hasn't made a commitment to Jesus, and you know, prodigals are difficult, and I'll get lots of nods, I'm sure, in all of our family circles. We all know people that don't know the Lord. And this is where I get encouraged about planting and watering. Sometimes we don't know what fruit is being produced because we're trusting God. We've got to be patient, don't we? We've got to be patient. But Rebecca got married. She didn't want to get married in a church. She's been brought up in the church. She still has an understanding and a knowledge. And she'll come around to our place. I've got a piano, and she's got this angelic voice that she did use through the church in her teenage years. But she'll still come back and sing worship songs on the piano. And I go, thank you, Lord, keep singing those songs, you know, keep on. And so I know that the seeds have been planted. But, you know, we get impatient, don't we? And this verse is that we're saying that we need to trust God, that it's He that makes it grow. But on her wedding day, like I said, she didn't want to be married in a church. She outdoor wedding, and not because she was anti-church or anything like that. It was just her desire, and she wasn't going to have any Christian content. And as a dad, and any of you dads out there would understand, my heart was broken that my dream was to walk my girl down in a Christian wedding on a wedding day, and it was a tough journey for me to give my daughter away, even though it was still a blessing to be involved. But I prayed, Lord, give me an opportunity on her wedding day to be involved. I didn't know what that meant or what that could be. And a week before the wedding, my daughter, you know, brides never do this, do they? Last minute things, they're always super organized. And she goes, rings me up and says, Dad, I'd like you to pray in our wedding ceremony next week. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, just trust God. You know, we've got to keep planting, we've got to keep watering. And it was an honor to stand up there in front of her husband's family, who are not Christian at all, and be able to pray for that couple and bless them as they go off into their family journey. And, you know, we keep planting and we keep watering. And we've got to trust that God will make it grow. So, just in closing today, just the challenge up there. What seeds are you sowing? We all have opportunities in our week, in our days, in our, as I said, workplaces, homes, churches, schools, wherever we are, we get opportunities to plant and water seeds. And that needs to come from a deep understanding and relationship of an incredible God who loves us and gives us the fruits of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit to be able to give to others, bless others, and plant and water these seeds of hope. But are you allowing them to grow? Are you being patient? Sometimes, you know, we've looked at the example of seeds. Seeds don't produce fruit straight away, do they? We don't plant the seed and, oh, there's a sprout. Some laughing gardeners probably saying, I hope, I wish they did, you know, sit there and watch it. You know how the little kids plant a seed and they want to see it grow. But it's a seasonal thing. It takes seasons. It can take months and years and the crops to develop and all those kind of things. It's an amazing analogy to put towards relationships and sowing and planting seeds and bearing fruit. So just the final challenge as you go out today is just 3 points there. So be intentional. Don't give up. Don't stop planting. Keep planting. We need to just keep encouraging others, being there for others. We know people in need in our communities, in our lives, in our families. Keep planting. Don't give up. Be intentional. Be persistent. So we talk about perseverance in our own lives and building character, but be persistent in terms of, so keep watering. Just keep going back to that seed that you planted and just keep watering it, like the story with my daughter, and I keep watering it and praying that she will come to know the Lord. And then finally, be patient. So trust God, as he's promised in that verse. And at the end of the verse, he talks about a team effort, that you're in God's building, we're in God's field. So it's a team effort. God's relying on us to help him to sow and plant these seeds so that he can produce the fruit. So please be encouraged. I hope that's been a blessing to you this morning, that you can take out into your week and into your everyday life and your journey with God. Let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, and we just thank you that we can be in relationship with you. And we just thank you that you have given us the fruits of the Spirit. And that it's not a to-do list to tick off and check off throughout our day and throughout our week. But that it's an overflow in our hearts of the Holy Spirit working in us through the relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, hopefully we've all been challenged and had a chance to reflect on our own journey and our own story of how we came to who we are today. But we thank you, Lord, that you are part of our journey. And we just pray that we're able to now, through this verse that we spoke and focused on today, or from your word, of planting and sowing and watering seeds and trusting that you are in control. So help us, Lord, to make choices, make good choices, that we choose to invest in others, that we choose to love others when it's difficult, that we choose to give hope to people in need that don't have hope. And so, Father, we put our faith and our trust in you today, that you will continue to work in each of our lives as we continue to do your work and be in relationship with you in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen.